Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
One of the original members of one of my favorite groups of old times is with me for this show, and Lee Young is the guy I'm sitting with. Gaither Vocal Band's the group I'm talking about.
You make me sound so old.
Just listen. I almost could say I grew up on the Vocal Band. I carry on my key ring a keychain that says GVB, established 1981. That's the year I was born, incidentally. And I grew up listening to gospel music. Association Devil Ward albums where they had all the top songs, and those songs were on there. And so it really is an honor to talk to you. Before we get to 1981, though, let's just start back in, at the very beginning with a little baby named Lee. Where'd you grow up?
I was born at a very early age, and I chose my parents very carefully.
Yes.
I'm the youngest of five. The son of a guy that worked in a cotton mill in Gastonia, deacon in a Southern Baptist church. Mother was the pianist, organist, was an incredible keyboardist, And I don't remember, somebody asked me when I started singing, I said, when did I start breathing?
Yeah.
I will never forget the first time I ever stood next to somebody that absolutely could not sing. And I will never forget it. Surprised me to no end, because all my family sang. My aunts and uncles used to come and they'd stand around the piano and they'd play and we'd sing. I grew up.
That's what you did.
I grew up in music. I mean, of course, I was raised in classical music. It was classical and the hymns of the church, Southern Baptist Church, you heard people talk about, I had a drug problem.
Yeah, right.
I got
drugged
to church every time a door opened. That was me.
Right.
Because between a deacon and the piano player, you ain't got much chance. Much chance to skip church.
That's true.
So I'm blessed the way I was raised. And like I said, I was raised classical music, took voice lessons at 15, a Bach and before, everything was classical music. And, of course, I heard all kinds. My daddy was really a big fan of the Harvesters quartet. So we used to go to the Harvesters and go hear them. And there was a blind trio that used to work in this area. They were from Gastonia, called the Davis Trio, the Blind Davis Trio.
Huh.
Now, they had some incredible three-part harmony. They were just wonderful.
Wow.
Polly Thornton and Floyd Davis, the Blind Davis Trio. They were dynamite. But that's what I grew up in until until I got a 6-transistor Arvin radio. And and I was tuning. I heard, I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. I was wrong.
So
I done found out about Motown.
Uh-oh.
But I had a very well-rounded musical education.
Yeah.
A good Baptist boy, went to Gardner-Webb College.
Yeah.
And auditioned for, this was 1972, 73, auditioned for every group that came through.
Hmm.
And lo and behold, one summer I got a call from a guy named Derek Johnson, who had a group called Regeneration. Derek Johnson's Regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Worked out of Nashville. And it was a 10-voice group. We did Christian and patriotic music. This was leading up to the bicentennial, doing a lot of patriotic stuff, kind of a traditional counterculture sort of thing. Yeah. And that at that time, a long hair was the cool thing, and t-shirts and facial hair. Well, we were, our hair was high and tight.
Yeah.
Always wore shirts and ties. Guys wore shirts and ties every day. Ladies always in dresses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like I said, 10 voices, had high soprano, low bass.
Yeah.
It was the first group that ever went out on the road that used tracks exclusively.
Wow.
And we ran tracks. It was on 10-inch reels.
Yeah.
Cassettes and stuff. It was on big 10-inch reels.
Oh.
And like I said, Christian patriotic music, did a lot of a cappella music, did an entire album called Velvet. And back in I think it was about 74, 75, mm-hmm. it was called Velvet. And then the next thing, it was a blue, beautiful blue velvet album cover.
Yeah.
Then we did a red one, which was Christmas in Velvet, which you've probably heard.
Yeah.
That's been remastered to CD, and you hear a lot of it around Christmas time. But
you said that group was one of the first or the first to travel with tracks,
mm-hmm.
and they were on reel. But how was that met with audiences? Was it a mixed bag? Some audiences absolutely loved it because it was different, but others thought it was
changed. It started out it was a break off. Thurlow Spurr had several different groups. He had the Spurlows.
Yeah.
And now this is stuff before you were born.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, some of these people might remember this. Had the Spurlows and then had several other groups. Well, Derek Johnson used to arrange stuff in real thick, lush harmonies. Well, mm-hmm. about the time Regeneration started, the Carpenters hit with lots of strings.
Wow.
Great, real thick harmony stuff. And so it really sounded like the Carpenters. Yeah. And I think Thurlow Spurr did this just for no other reason. He did it for to go to churches that really weren't ready for horns
and guitars and
all that stuff. And we came in with this nice, very mellow string sound with lots of harmony. But then we did patriotic stuff. We did lots of choreography. We jumped all over the stage with that stuff. We were fortunate enough to be down at Disney World for all 4 years. Well, it started the year before I started in the group, and it went for years after that. Disney used to have a thing in February called I'm an American Holidays.
Yeah.
And for a week. And we go down, we did four shows a day out in front of the Castle Four Court stage at Disney. That was dynamite.
Many times in my childhood, when we traveled so far, by nightfall, how weary I'd grow. My father's arms would slip round me, and gently he'd say, "My son, we're God.
smooth sounds of Lee Young, our guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends. Lee was an original member of the Gaither Vocal Band. Before his journey led him to that point, however, Lee sang with Regeneration, and that part of Lee's story picks up now.
After 4 years with that group, it was the summer of 77, Bill said, we'd run into Bill, you know, I'd met him, you know, we'd mm-hmm. do a choral workshop or, you know, music thing with Benson Music Company.
Right.
And we'd do those kind of things, and I'd run into him. Well, unbeknownst to me, Danny was leaving the trio.
Yeah.
And Henry and Hazel Slaughter, who were also kind of singing backup and playing, Henry's, yeah. you know, incredible keyboard
yes.
player,
oh, yeah.
was, they were leaving. And Bill wanted to change things. He wanted to add horns and
right.
backup singers. Well, I was driving the equipment truck, and, of course, I was a road manager the last year with Regen. Mm-hmm. Pastor Derek comes in. He says, hey, I've got a great opportunity for you if you're interested. I said, what is it? He said, Bill Gaither needs a backup singer, and he needs a driver. Mm. And I said, yeah, sure, I'd love to. So they flew me in, and I sat around and talked to Bill and Gloria, as they always do with everybody.
Yeah.
Sat around in their living room, and we sang yeah. together, and we talked together, and we prayed together. And I left. The last program I did with Regeneration was August the 7th, of 1977, and then 8 days later, I was up in Indiana for rehearsal.
Yeah.
So I was wow. I was about 8 days in between groups. And
you left with Regeneration's blessing, I guess. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. The tour was over. Yeah. The tour ended, and they'd already brought in everybody for the next group.
Gotcha.
And I left there and went home and proposed wow. to now my wife, and we packed furniture and
yeah.
took off to Indiana.
Yeah.
And wound up getting married at Bill's house, to tell you the truth.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Got married in Bill's, their English garden, of course.
Wow.
Where I came from, it was called a side yard, but they said it was an English garden. So I said, okay.
Yes, yeah,
you know, yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
We'll put that on the invitation.
Well, we were going to get married. We were going to wait till December. And then the first thing I did with Bill was we went to Canada
yeah.
for a week
yeah.
In late August.
Yeah.
In fact, we rehearsed for like 3 days, and we were on the road. Here
wow.
we went.
Wow.
We went to Canada. Started at Winnipeg, Manitoba, and headed west from there. And we were talking before the program one night, and Gloria said, "Well, why wait? You know, why wait to get married?" I said, "Okay." So
yeah.
I got in touch with a preacher in Alexandria, and you know the town where we lived, and.
Yeah.
And we were talking about going to get married in that church, and because we didn't have the money to go back to North Carolina, back and forth. And
right, right.
We didn't have time either.
Yeah.
So Gloria said, well, why don't you get married at our house? Okay. So we flew my daddy up and
yeah.
My wife's mom and aunt and came up, and she had a 3-year-old by previous
mm-hmm.
marriage. And so we got married at Bill's house, and it was funny. I was standing there watching Debbie walk down the aisle of the chairs that they had set up, and I thought, you know what? It would have been nice if we'd had some music for this thing. Because I've got the only people there were all the road crew, all the road crew from Gaither, you know,
yeah.
from on the tour.
Yeah.
All these musicians. You know what? We might have had some music here.
So you didn't have much music at all? Or
No, none.
None.
Zilch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But sang with him, traveled with him until...
Well, you were doing backup, right?
Yeah, singing backup.
And singing in a backup, when you said you practiced for 3 days and then you were on the road, is that right?
About 3 or 4 days rehearsal, and here we went.
Obviously, it would have been more nerve-wracking if you were a front, you know, out front singer, but mm-hmm. being backup, did that give you a little more confidence that, you know, you necessarily weren't the star with only 3 rehearsals under your belt?
Well, I say 3 rehearsals. I mean, this is 30-something years ago.
Yeah,
so
sure, sure.
We may have rehearsed more than that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we hit the road, and we knew the songs, and, of course, they gave music stands and
yeah.
set them up there and,
yeah.
you know, had music stands, and there were 5 of us at the time. And
right, right.
We did that first tour, and you know, I was enjoying myself. I was, you know, I was loving it. It was great fun. It was a completely different thing. Just, you know, just to go sing backup. Yeah. So.
Well, that backup gig landed him a position with the Gaither Vocal Band, what was about to be birthed not far away. Here's a sound from that first project, 1981, the New Gaither Vocal Band, with Steve Green, Gary McSpadden, Bill Gaither, and today's guest, Lee Young.
Jesus said, I'm going back to where I came from. But soon you will be with me. Yes, soon that day will come. Oh, Lord, Lord, I'm ready. Your blessed face to see. To be going, 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 going to the place prepared for me.
Have you made
your reservation?
Your reservation.
We're gonna leave here by and by.
We're gonna leave here by and by.
Have you made your reservation?
Your reservation.
Don't wanna see you left behind.
See you left behind.
There's gonna be a celebration.
A celebration.
When we reach the other side. Are you living in anticipation?
In anticipation.
Oh, when you take that final ride,
have you made
your reservation?
Your reservation
for your mansion in the sky. Don't need no ticket to get to heaven. Faith in Jesus gonna take you there.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't need no 747. We're gonna fly.
One of the very first sounds the world ever heard of the Gaither Vocal Band. The New Gaither Vocal Band, 1981, featuring Steve Green, Gary McSpadden, Bill Gaither, and today's guest, Lee Young. Now, so far we've followed Lee's story from regeneration to joining the Gaithers as a backup singer, and now the conversation turns to the exact point when the vocal band began.
We always did weekend, starting like the weekend after Labor Day, and did weekends, and then took time off for Christmas, and then we go to Florida. Middle of January, we go down to Florida. Well, we were in Jacksonville, Florida, on a Thursday evening.
Yeah.
And we did sound check every day, about 5 o'clock.
Right.
Bill says 1981. Okay. I thought it was 1980, but hey, you know, it's his name, you know, it's his Gaither.
So, right.
Well, we were at the end of sound check. Bill says, you know, we ought to do a quartet. And, you know, like I said, his name's on the thing. Okay, Bill, what do you want?
Yeah.
And he says, well, Gary, and of course we had Steve. Steve had no idea. Steve had sung with Truth. Right. Steve Green, he sang with Truth.
Right.
And he came to the trio and came to sing backup. And he didn't know that much about quartet music. I knew some, but, you know, not a lot.
Yeah.
And so we fooled around with Swing Down, Sweet Chariot. Swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Yeah.
And then he started doing First Day in Heaven. So we had to write the words down for Steve. I was pretty familiar with it.
Right.
Had to write the words down for Steve. I don't think he'd ever heard the song. Our music director, Roger Bird, who was a drummer,
yeah,
said, look, let's wait on this so that I can write charts out for the bands. The band
can write. Right.
So we didn't do it that night and Thursday night. Rehearsed it again Friday night, Jacksonville, Florida. People went crazy. They loved it. First time we ever sang. They loved it. Okay. Next night was Lakeland, Florida, which is quartet mecca.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think we got like 4 standing ovations. I mean, we, in the DVD, you know, Bill says, you know, we did ice cream. Actually, we were doing harmony.
Right.
And we almost got a standing ovation for that.
That's funny.
And we did First Day in Heaven, and people just went crazy. And then we went back and did, you know, did it again and did it again.
Smiling, saying, how do you do? It's a great, great morning. Your first day in heaven. When you realize your worried days are through, you'll be glad you were not idle. The time to read your Bible. It's a great morning for you.
I had a dream, and I'll confess I hated to wait. He dreamt he was an angel at the great pearly gate.
St. Peter said, why, hello there. Where have you been?
We've got your mansion ready. Come right in.
And then he rang for an angel to act as his guide.
He spread his wings a time or two and learned how to fly.
Oh, it's a great, great morning. Your first day in heaven. When you stroll down the golden avenue, there are mansions left and right, and you're thrilled at every side. And the saints are always smiling, saying, how do you do? Oh, it's a great, great morning.
The bus after it was over, and Bill's dad, George, looked at Bill, said, well, 15 years and I don't know how many miles, and you finally got your own quartet. And we just did the thing. It was a novelty thing in the second half of the program.
Yeah.
All right. Fast forward to that summer. We're down here in North Carolina. We're down here in Gastonia for vacation.
Yeah.
Gaither's office calls, says, you need to go by home by way of Nashville.
Right.
They're picking out songs for the album. Album? So, Bill wants to do an album of the quartet. Okay. Didn't have a name. He wants to do an album. Okay. So we go pick out songs.
Yeah.
The four of us with Bob McKenzie, who was with, you know, the with Benson Music Company.
Right.
We're looking at songs. And so we start in recording. Now that, you know, fall, we start recording.
Mm-hmm.
And get the thing put together. And, of course, Steve tells a story. I didn't know where the name came from. Steve tells a story of about that time, the Starland Vocal Band came out with Afternoon Delight.
Yeah.
Wonderful song. Great harmony.
Yeah.
Dynamite tune.
Right.
And so he wanted something. And Gloria had made up an entire list of names for, you know, possible names for a group. And I mean, this was a big sheet, 2 columns.
Wow.
A list of names for groups. And we're going through there, and they said, well, what about the Gaither Vocal Band? And you know, like the Starland Vocal Band. And that stuff. And I was just, you know, I kind of the mini Pearl syndrome. I'm just proud to be here.
Right, right.
So that's how the thing started.
Wow.
And then we did First Day in Heaven, and then we started doing I Don't Mind. You know, I don't mind the rain.
Yeah.
I don't mind the storm around me. I don't mind.
Yeah.
That was on the second album. We hadn't recorded that.
But one of the most remembered songs from that project that was recorded was this one. He Came Down to My Level. Lee Young is our guest today, and this was the first Gaither Vocal Band project, 1981.
Strong arm.
out the door. He wants to make your life worth living. That's what it came down for. Some disappointment, so won't you listen to me, please? 'Cause I know about a savior. He came down to be a man, and when he left, he sent a spirit. He made me everything I am. He came down to my level when I couldn't get up to his. With a strong arm, he lifted me up, showed me what a living is. He'll come down to your level if you'll open.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Today's guest is Lee Young, former member of Regeneration, former backup for Bill and Gloria Gaither, best known for being an original member of the Gaither Vocal Band in the early 80s. Lee's story picks up here.
Was with them until 82, did the spring tour in 82. Yeah. And then Bill comes in and says, we're going to change the sound of the group. And I said, okay, Bill. It's, you know, it's your group. Mm-hmm. It's your name on it. You can have people in there who you want. I said, I kind of hate it, but hey, yeah. You know, if that's what you want to do. So, and that's when they brought John Moore in.
Right.
And I went, you know, we were living in Indiana.
Right.
And we, you know, eventually that was like in August. And, you know, by November, I got the money to enough to, you know, move us back down to North Carolina.
Right, right.
And that was 82. And in the spring of 84, I got a call from a friend of mine who was head of the music department over at PTL and didn't know I was even in town.
Wow.
What didn't know I was in the area? Paul Farron.
Yeah.
Was his name.
Yeah.
And so I wound up at PTL. So I was with PTL Singers 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough to sing with some great groups. Regeneration had some of the best voices
that
you could ever see.
Yeah.
Gaither.
Yeah.
And when you got Steve Green and Sandy Patty.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lady named Cosette Bird.
Right.
Who did a lot of session work. She was Roger's wife. Did a lot of session work. And we had, you know, that was, you know, that was some pretty kicking backup singers.
Exactly right.
And I was fortunate enough when I went to PTL. We had some great singers there, and I've been so fortunate. I've been so blessed to be the, you know, part of the groups mm-hmm. that really doing stuff that nobody else is doing.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
the thing about quartets, if you listen to your basic gospel quartet, you've got three high voices. You got the baritone, the lead, and the tenor. Yeah. And then you got the bass. It's like almost, a lot of times you listen to them, the bass is almost an octave below that. Well, what we did, what Bill was doing with the arrangements was flipping that bass up and making it a nice, tight, almost a barbershop kind of thing. And that's what's different about the vocal band. It's more of a tight harmony, and with the harmonies that they're doing, you know, four parts with the augmented and diminished, you know, with the chords they're doing. But it's such a nice, tight harmony. It's almost like barbershop.
Yeah. And the bass isn't over in its own world.
Yeah, right. The bass is not down, you know, someplace in the, you know, in subterranean.
Yeah, right.
So, which I loved because, man, I loved, you know, I enjoyed harmony. I'm, you know, just harmonizing with people.
It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You may pressure men and sway them to your view. Your words may make them do what you want.
I was talking to the first soprano that sang with Bill. Her name's Susie Thrasher. Mm-hmm. She and I sang together with Regeneration, and her husband Bill Thrasher. They left and went to Indiana, and Bill was doing sound, and Susie was singing backup. And I was talking to her the other day, and via Facebook actually.
Yeah,
and you get a feeling, and now this can sound crazy. You get a feeling when you're in amongst, you know, some people that can really, really sing, and the harmony's really tight and it locks in. There's this wonderful feeling, and to me, it's like a drug. And when you get in the middle of something like that, when I hear it, and today, of course, now I go to a Church of God. I love the Church of God. I love the spirit of that, but you know, a lot of the choruses and stuff, but I sometimes miss, you know, some good, you know, solid tight harmonies. We had a reunion a few years ago with Regeneration. This was probably 7-8 years ago. We had a reunion with Regen, and Regen went about 11 years, and I guess it was like 40-50 of us that had sung with that group. And all those harmonies and everything in tune, and just, it's like a drug. I cried. I my 6'5", another pounds self, I cried for 2 hours.
Wow.
Because I just loved that feeling, that sense of, plus, number one, you know they're all saved, and you know they all love God, and you know they believe what they're singing.
Right.
And then you add the God has blessed them with these voices, and they've worked, and you know they've crafted their instrument, and then you get all those people together spiritually and musically, and it is just an amazing feeling. And that's really what I ran into last summer when all of a sudden, you know, I really hadn't stayed in touch with Bill. You know, he went doing his thing, and when I left the PTL Singers, I was very ill. I had some health problems, and I got over that. And I was doing some singing, but really not enough to support a wife and two children. You know.
Sure, sure.
They got you know, they got used to living indoors and eating three times a day. So something I knew how to do was drive a truck. So I went driving trucks. Mm. I drove a truck for a long time.
Yeah.
I'd gotten out of that. My wife made me leave that when the company I was working for folded. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's afraid I was going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
my patience was gone. And so, you know, health problems.
Yeah.
Knee trouble, you know, knee replacement surgery.
Right.
And all of a sudden I get this email, March of last year, and it's from Gaither Music.
Mm-hmm.
Gaither Music, huh? And it said, would you be interested in doing a reunion? Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, it'd be great. Wonderful.
Sure.
Because we hadn't been back. Like I said, we got married there. We lost our first child. We got a child buried up there. We had a life. You know, that's where we started our life together.
Wow.
30-something years ago.
Yeah.
So they set it up. And here in, you know, latter part of July, we go up there and rent a car and drove back through the town, saw that nasty little house where, you know, first house we owned, the first apartment we rented.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where we sat through the blizzard of 78 and
wow.
saw snow piled up, you know, 6 and 8 feet snow drifts, and saw that little old house that we owned and the first house that we bought.
Wow.
Then we got in there, saw some great friends that are still working for the Gaither Music Company.
Yeah.
And then got in there and started to, you know, sing with some of those people. I mean, you know, Bill. Mm-hmm. God bless him. You know, he can pick up the phone and call just about anybody.
Yeah.
And get them.
Yeah.
And to sit in the same room with Gary McSpadden on one time, on one side.
Yeah.
And right on the other side, Wes Hampton.
Yeah.
And David Phelps.
Right.
And then, you know, there's Russ and, you know, there's English and Guy Penrod, who was just Guy Penrod, the most wonderful people I've ever met.
Yeah, yeah.
And got a chance to finally meet John Moore.
Yeah.
And John's written some wonderful songs. John.
You had never met before.
No, we had never met. We swapped places.
Right.
But,
right.
We knew a lot of the same people, but we had never met. And John and I really clicked. John and I talked a lot.
Yeah.
And I got a new sense of his heart when he wrote, He Holds the Keys and Find Us Faithful. Let all who come behind us find us faithful.
Right.
Just, you know, found out, you know, heard, we talked, you know, he talked from his heart.
Yeah.
And got to see those people and to be a part of that. And there again, 15 very, very good voices, people that love God and just sit around and got to sing. I looked over at Gary. I said, hey, can we do this again tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah, really.
it was just amazing. Just truly amazing.
Shackled by a heavy burden.
You got it.
Beneath the load of guilt and shame. And make me whole.
From the Gaither Vocal Band reunion taping, as he touched me, featuring Buddy Mullins, Marshall Hall, David Phelps, and our guest today, Lee Young. We'll talk about the first project that was recorded by the vocal band. Lee was featured on the project as the bass singer, Bill Gaither singing baritone, Gary McSpadden more of in a lead position, and Steve Green in a tenor position. The vocal band's first album, 1981.
The new Gaither Vocal Band. Yeah. First one it had, he came down to my level, and I am yours, and don't play with the devil.
Yeah,
you know those tunes. You know the one it really did was he came down to my level. That's the tune that everybody remembers off of it.
Yeah,
and it was really a shame. I probably shouldn't say this, but I was really ashamed because Bill went outside the quote quartet ranks to get a producer to produce the thing.
Right,
it was produced by a guy named Chris Christian.
Okay.
And Chris produced it. And so the version of First Day in Heaven on there that has a soprano sax on. It's almost tongue in cheek.
Right, right.
And, you know, I was a little disappointed in that, but the rest of the thing was great. That Every Eye Shall See is a wonderful tune.
Every eye shall see, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to the glory of God that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is.
The one song on there that I did on when I did my CD, Bill allowed me to use the tracks on it. Wonderful, wonderful song called "Abide in Me."
Yeah,
and I put it on my recording because yeah. it is just it's a wonderful prayer. Abide in me, O my Lord, mm-hmm. promised in your holy word. Mm-hmm. You've called my name and I have heard. I ask you, Lord, abide in me. Just, I love the song. So I got a chance to record it on my, this is first time I ever got a chance to do my own.
Abide in me, day and night, and by abiding make my choices right. Help me see because you are my light, eternal light. Abide in me. Everything I see around me seems so empty and so lost. I need your direction. I'm ready for the cost. Abide in me, Lord, I pray. Holy Spirit, life and truth and way, teach me how to think and what to say. Oh, come in to stay. Abide in me. My life I throw open wide. Oh, won't you come and make your abide in me. Abide in me. Abide in me.
Well, your voice, your range, and maybe this is what Bill heard that attracted him to you was the range. You're not just a bass singer, but using his way of taking the bass and moving it up into the same mm-hmm. cloud range as the higher voices. You do have a pretty good range, don't you?
Oh yeah, I do. I'm blessed.
And a little bit ago, Lee, you mentioned that you know, you were married in Alexandria, Indiana. You were actually married right. in Bill and Gloria Gaither's English garden. Mm. It's outside their house.
Side yard, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And and you bought your first house there. And you actually
214 South Canal Street.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You said you have a child that's buried there.
Debbie had been married before, and her husband, they had split up, and it really destroyed her emotionally and just confidence wise. It really destroyed her. And she and I were good friends. She and I had been friends in college.
Yeah.
But we'd never dated because she was engaged when we were in college together. I was at Gaston College for 2 years. She never would break up with a guy and go out with me. So we were just friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess after she, you know, after they got divorced, you know, they were separated and were divorced, and she had a little baby that was, you know, just about to turn, well, hadn't quite turned 3 years old in 77.
Right.
She, for whatever reason, said, wonder whatever happened to Lee Young. Well, her aunt worked in the alumni office at Gardner-Webb College, where I'd gone for 2 years after that. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I know where he is. He was just at Gardner-Webb with the singing group he was in. And
yeah.
I get his address. So she writes me a letter and, we start corresponding and, you know, we dated by phone and by letter, mostly by phone.
Right.
And when I saw her, we took a week off and we had a week off in the spring of 77. We took a week off in the spring and I got a ride from mm-hmm. someplace up in West Virginia down to Mount Airy back when they were still working on I-77.
Yeah.
And we met at this gas station. She walked out of there and the Spirit of the Lord said, look no further.
Wow.
And I was hung. I was gone. We were good friends before we were ever lovers.
Wow.
Well, She had a child, and it was 1979, you know, been married 2 years. We got married September 3rd, 77.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in spring, and she started having trouble, and we went to the doctor, and they couldn't find a fetal heartbeat.
Hmm.
And what had happened a couple of days before that, she was coming down the stairs in that little house, and just all of a sudden she felt almost collapsed, and I went flying across the room and caught her.
Hmm.
And I really think that's when what happened, the placenta was malformed.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, the baby got to a certain size and it couldn't support the child anymore. Hmm. So, and we waited 2 weeks and this is an agonizing 2 weeks.
Oh,
waited
bet.
2 weeks to see if she went into labor on her own. And
yeah.
now, and I'm gone every weekend.
Oh,
you
right,
know, I'm
right.
leaving out on Thursday and getting back on Sunday.
Yeah.
Cause you know, and I'm taking on, you know, putting doctor visits, wrapping doctor visits around that. And because
right.
when we get back, we'd have to do maintenance on the truck and the bus and,
yeah. Yeah.
and get, you know, stuff loaded to go out the next weekend.
Right.
And so we take off and we got back in and, she didn't go into labor, so we had to go induce. And, you know, I had to bury a child I never got to hold. And there again, we had to, the child was born and had to, you know, the funeral and everything. And Gloria, God bless her, Gloria Gaither, and Debbie was still in the hospital, sat with me, had to bury my firstborn.
Oh.
And we named her Sugar.
Yeah.
Because I called Debbie Sugar all the time. Never since that day. And we named her Sugar. And so, and then the next week, you know, that was, I think the funeral was like on, I guess on Tuesday or Wednesday. And we hit the road on Thursday.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It doesn't stop.
Yeah.
You cannot stop. You know, you're called to ministry.
Right.
And that takes, you know, that takes priority.
Right.
And
right.
her mom came up and stayed with her for a while. And then that was in April. And then we went to California. We always went to the West Coast, latter part of April, 1st of May.
Mm-hmm.
And she went home to stay with her mom. And, you know, after that, we went in to see the doctor and walked in the doctor's office and sat down. And he said, well, you ready to try again? And 51 weeks after we lost that child, 51 weeks, Dixie was born.
Wow.
Our Dixie.
Wow.
That's a story in itself. We were foolish enough to try to time this baby.
Oh, no.
Thinking we were gonna try to time this. We thought it was going to work out great.
Yeah.
We were going to go do the West Coast thing, and we get back, and she'd be due just about time we get back from the West Coast. And,
right.
And, you know, middle of May or something. You know, we were going to, right.
Yeah. Schedule it, yeah.
We're on our way to Boise, Idaho.
Yeah.
We'd done Dayton, Ohio on Saturday night. And then we headed out. And we were supposed to be in Boise on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And one of the guys calls in, and Debbie was in labor.
Wow. Now,
we're going the wrong direction.
Exactly. Exactly.
We are going the wrong way.
Oh, no.
And so we stopped at a, you know, well, one of the guys, we stopped at a rest area in Iowa out on Interstate 80. And one of the guys called in and said, you need to call your wife. She's at community hospital having a baby. I said, no, she's not. She's not due for another 3 weeks. He said, well, you better go call and tell the baby that. So they grabbed me, and I thought, look, you know, I'm going the wrong direction. I'm going to be gone for 2.5-3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Well, I came back to the truck, and he said, meet me at the Des Moines airport. And so they put me on a plane in Des Moines.
Yeah.
And I flew to Chicago and then caught a puddle jumper, you know, a little two-engine prop aircraft, into Muncie, Indiana, a little bitty airport in Muncie. And they got me to the hospital. They got me to my house. And I'm still in clothes. See, back then, everybody did a lot of different jobs. It's not like it is now. They have just drivers and just loaders.
Right.
And
right.
I was singing, of course.
Yeah.
And, of course, we had to handle selling records. But I was also driving all night. I was also the loadmaster. I had to make sure these 240-foot drop-frame semis got loaded correctly.
Yeah.
I was in charge of loading, which means I had to sling a lot of equipment.
Yeah.
So I'm still in the same clothes that I loaded out in the night before.
Wow.
And I got home, dropped my stuff, grabbed my camera, jumped in the car, and it's snowing. This is April the 13th in Indiana, and it's snowing.
Wow.
And so I'm go slip and slide, flying down the road. Blew right through one stop sign. God help me that night, because I forgot that stop sign was there. me and my 75 Mercury, we just went, boom, just blew right through it. Got to the hospital, walked into the hospital at 10 minutes to midnight.
Yeah.
Dixie was born 12 minutes after.
Wow.
Yeah. And they said, what are you going to name her? I said, we're going to name her Dixie Lee. We're going to name her Dixie because we were homesick. So, and Dixie is now... She was our miracle child. She is now 29, married.
Yeah.
And our older daughter, Carrie, I am so proud of her.
Yeah.
She still, to this day, she was 3 when we got married. She still, to this day, does me the extreme honor of calling me daddy.
And the songs that we've been listening to today have been from this project. We've done some vocal band stuff, but the stuff, the solo work from Lee Young is available on this project. And you don't have a website yet. We were talking about that earlier. But you do have an email. And,
yes.
And you can give that, and we'll also put it on our website. You can come to danielbritt.com, and we'll link to it from there. And what's the email?
It's singing low for him, the number 4. Singing, S-I-N-G-I-N, singing low for him at AOL.com.
Lee, you're a delight to talk to, and it was an honor.
Thank you so much. It's been great fun.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.